Today on Real Life Radio.
Christian, I want you to go out into the world and shake it up. And if it's in your class or if it's in your job or if it's your home, here's the deal. Lord, I don't want to be a spectator. I want to live for you. And I believe that if I stand for you when I'm called upon to stand, you'll take care of the rest.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. In a time when our culture is increasingly hostile to the teachings of the Bible and the traditional values that they impart, Christians face the challenge of being labeled intolerant and offensive and homophobic. How can we approach controversial topics with both reason and tact? In the book called Correct, Not Politically Correct, author Frank Turek tackles the sensitive topics of same-sex marriage and transgenderism, addressing common arguments about equal rights, discrimination, tolerance, and being born a certain way. Now, this powerful and insightful book firmly yet respectfully defends biblical truth about sexual identity, marriage, and gender. Don't bury your head in the sand, but learn to stand with a biblical worldview. Correct, Not Politically Correct by Dr. Frank Turek is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com or call 877-777-2346. Order your copy of Correct, Not Politically Correct today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, What Makes a Church Relevant, Part 1. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he now begins a whole new section here in chapter 12. You see, Paul goes from focusing on character and behavior to what makes the church relevant in any age it finds itself. What makes the church relevant today is that the believer recognizes there is a new cause to head in the direction of unity, ministry, and maturity. Now with his message called, What Makes a Church Relevant, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
God doesn't hand a person who's saying, I want to know what my gift is, or else I'm just going to sit here. God will say, then sit there. But if you get up and if you grow up, God will hand you the power. Why? Because it's ready time, for you to use it. It's pretty amazing. So the thing is this, that when God uses the gift in your life, my friend, you will be the one most humbled and blown away by it. You'll be so amazed. This was the hand of God. Some of you have taken the call ministry. Everyone should take the call ministry, everyone. But some people in the call ministry find out that they never would talk to anybody before, but now they start talking to people about Jesus and they find out that they have the gift of evangelism. And they share, and people, it's weird. You know, you guys all know Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie is obviously an extremely skilled communicator, but that has been developed over the years on his gift. His gift is an evangelist. Greg Laurie shows up and people get saved. How does that happen? He has the gift of an evangelist. And then Pastor Chuck Smith could walk down the street and press, you know, the crosswalk button and wind up teaching you a lesson somehow about how these things work. And it applies to your life. And look how right here, there's the crosswalks of life. And you're going, how does he do that? It's not natural. It's the gift of God. And you, as a believer, have a gift. And it's exciting to find out what that might be. It comes from heaven. And listen, talent showcases you. Gifts showcase God. If you're in it for you, then go get yourself a late night show. But if you're in it for God, then find out what your ministry is. How about this? In verse 2, we learn that it's a new life knowing the truth. It's a new life knowing the truth. It says in verse 2, and you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. There's a beautiful bit of sarcasm here by the Apostle Paul. The word dumb idols doesn't mean stupid idols. It means dumb idols, idols who cannot hear. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have eyes, they cannot see. That's a dumb idol. When I think of a dumb idol, I immediately, for whatever reasons, I see totem poles. Think of a totem pole where an Eskimo will go to a totem pole and say, "We need a great whale harvest this season." Did you hear me? No, didn't hear you. Listen, and here's the thing about idols, dumb idols. They can't talk, they can't see, they can't do anything. Paganism, when he says, "You were once Gentiles or pagans," that's what he's saying. Unbelievers. Have you noticed that how the gods of the pagans have to answer through human means? What I mean by that is, if you would take a big rock or a sacrificial altar or a rock and you're a pagan and you would take the pig and you'd throw it on the rock and you'd cut it open and the way the blood flows, if it flows more to the left than to the right, then we're not supposed to go to battle today. Who says that just spoke to you? It's self-answering. It's already programmed by the worshiper. It cannot speak. So what does someone do? This happens everywhere over the world, people. It goes like this. The rules are, if the blood flows to the west, then it means we go to war. If the blood flows to the east, then it means we stay home. You answer your request before it's even offered up. It is superstition. Somebody might say today, "Well, you know, if the Lord wants me to buy that new house, he'll have the sun come up." Gee, I wonder how that's going to go. And we laugh at that, but Christians can do that. If God wants me to marry that guy, then the phone will ring in the next 10 minutes. Just, are you kidding me? You're going to make your decisions like that? Yikes. That's superstition. It's dangerous. No, God wants to lead us. Listen to this. God wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. I'm going to give you a verse. It is a glorious verse. Get ready to write it down. If nobody writes it down, write it on them. If you see somebody missing this verse, just write it on their arm right next to you right there. Isaiah 41:13. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Is that not an awesome verse? Do you not want that in your life? "For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." That's how God leads us as Christians. The Christian that is under the possession of the Holy Spirit is a Christian who has his life, her life will be ordered by the Lord. Point number two today, it's this. What makes a church relevant is that the believers recognize there's a new cause. There's a new cause for their life. Our new cause is to reject the false. And you need to write this down. It's very important. That's what Paul is teaching them. To reject the false, that which is not true. Look at verse 3. "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed." This is fascinating. Here's the reason why. No one by the power of the Holy Spirit, no one under the possession of the Holy Spirit in their lives can call Jesus accursed. And you would say, "Jack, who would even say such a thing?" Ah, but it's deeper than what it looks like on the surface. Listen carefully. No one who is controlled by the Holy Spirit, no one who has the Holy Spirit residing in them, can devalue, that's what that word means, devalue who Jesus truly is. You cannot degrade, taint, diminish from who Jesus is. Listen carefully. By the way, this is one of the very key signs of whether you're a believer or not, a true Christian, a heaven-bound Christian. The Holy Spirit will not allow you to associate with evil. If you try to, or if you ignorantly attempt to, he will convict you and instruct you. This is what he does. That's why when somebody cusses using Jesus' name, you feel dirty. The Holy Spirit inside of you cringes at that. But that's not even the word I'm talking about. Do you know what's worse than using his name in vain? Cussing like that? In a moment, we're going to see Jesus is Lord. No one who's possessed by the Holy Spirit can say, "Listen, This is what it means. No one by the Holy Spirit can say Jesus is a great prophet. Really, Pastor, are you sure about that? Because I had someone knock on my door and ask me if I want to come to their place to worship, and they said Jesus is a great prophet. They just fulfilled that verse. Listen, are you listening?
Yes.
They just exposed to you that the Holy Spirit does not reside in them. They do not belong to God. They're not property of God because they just degraded from Jesus's lordship. Jesus is not a great prophet. Did you hear what I said? He's not a great prophet. Then somebody comes up to your house and says, you can be a God just like Jesus is a God. They have just committed this sin. They have just exposed themselves as not being possessed by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus is Lord. Not Shirley MacLaine, not me, not you. There's only one. Are you with me? You see how defining it is? What the word means is extremely clear to us today. If somebody comes, for example, in our community, there is a vast temple being built as I speak, and they're going to come if they haven't already, and they're going to tell you, Jesus is one of the great enlightened ones. Did you know that that is the manifestation of that person saying that, not knowing God, because the Holy Spirit would never let them say that? Interesting, huh? Powerful. That's the definition of the cults. The cults differ in various ways, but they all agree upon one thing: the devaluing of the lordship and person of Jesus Christ. Never forget that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
If somebody comes and says, join my club, we have an amazing religion, it's super great. And let's say it is super great and fantastic and wonderful. Ask them, who's Jesus? In fact, listen to this. You're going to want to write this verse down. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Verse 3 and 4. Our new cause is to reject the false. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, did you know that there's other Jesuses? Whom you have not preached, or we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Paul is saying, I'm concerned for you, Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. I'm concerned for you because you guys aren't testing the waters. Watch me. We're guilty. Often. I'll put it to you this way. You're talking to somebody, you're thinking about God, you're thinking about their eternity, you want to share Jesus with them, and you'll say something because you don't know how to say it, or you haven't been experienced in sharing your faith. You'll say something like this. You'll ask them, do you believe in Jesus? And they'll say, sure do. And you go, oh, praise the Lord. Whew, wow. What are you really saying? Here's what you're saying. Oh, you believe in Jesus? Thank God I don't have to try to witness to you, because I was really getting kind of scared there for a while. Thought I would have to do something. Woo! Okay, glad that's good. Let's go get something to eat, brother. You were more interested in getting yourself off the hook than you were about getting them into heaven. Well, then why do they say they believe in Jesus? You guys know by now, right? When you ask them, do you believe in Jesus? They'll say, yes! And your next follow-up question is, Jesus who? What Jesus? Because the Mormon Jesus is different than the Jehovah Witness Jesus, which is different than the Buddhism Jesus, which is different than the Islamic Jesus, and they're all different from the Bible Jesus. So which one? Which one did you mean? Oh, I believe in the gospel. Which one? Which gospel? The gospel where if I take a $100 bill and tear off a little piece of it and give you the big part that you can take to the bank, and I can't take my part to the bank, that I get stuck with it, and if I put it on my pillow, I'm going to get rich while you go to the bank with my $100 bill? You mean that gospel? That's a false gospel. Oh, you mean the one where the person's sneezing and sick and they have a fever and they go, and you say to them, are you sick and sneezing and have a fever? And they say, no, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I am not sick. Well, you have snot running out of your nose and you're like 103. I'm not sick. That's a false gospel. Did you know that? Leads people astray. The gospel that says you can make your way, you can pave your way to heaven by your good works. That's a false gospel. Be very careful. And then, Liz, check this out. Final thing right here. We're going to run out of time, so it's this. Our new cause is to exalt the true. Our new cause is to exalt the true. Look at verse 3. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And you're going to say to me, Pastor, now I know you're off the wall because I've heard people say Jesus is Lord all the time. I've even heard non-believers say, praise the Lord. So have I. And that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you just say it. The word means this, that you say it because it's a reality. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Better to remind yourself or remember it this way. No one can say that Jesus Christ is their Lord in reality except by the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. To exalt the true. This is vitally important in our lives. As Christians, we are to be saying Jesus is Lord, but we are to be living it. For example, okay, I told the ushers to have the door ready for me to run out of here so you don't kill me when I'm saying what I'm about to say. We as believers, we would frown upon the pagans having this accursed word about Jesus, and we would shudder, understand that. But listen, for those of us who are believers, he is our Lord. So why do we worry about stuff? Jesus is Lord. Oh my goodness. Oh, I don't know. They found a lump. Jesus is Lord. How am I going to make my payments? I'm working 3 jobs now, and oh, God help me. Jesus is Lord. You hear me? This is a big deal. We say he's Lord, and so he is. And he's Lord in so many areas of our lives. Then why do you and I struggle with fill in the blank? Is there not enough power for us? Do we not have a strong enough God? We don't have a dumb idol. When we pray, he listens. When we cry, he's there. You know what? I'm confessing to you guys right here, right now. Knowing that's true, why do I not talk to him more? Why do I not spend more time with him? You say, Pastor, don't you spend time? I spend time with him, lots of time, but not enough time. Well, how do you know not enough time? Because I might worry about something. I might start fretting about something. I'm fretting, but look at me. Can you tell I'm fretting? I'm fretting right now. I've been fretting for a few weeks. I've been given an assignment to do, and it's exciting. I gotta get her done. Never done it before. Terrified, freaking out. I start it and then I throw it away. Why? I'm fretting. And why don't I just stop and say, Lord, for the last 3 hours, I could have been praying instead of throwing paper away. And the moment I start to turn my knees toward him and pray, peace comes, calm comes. Isn't it weird? Christians, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you can't go to Rite Aid and get that in a bottle. You can't do it. The rest begins to come. That's page 1, the rest. well, Lord, the challenge is still before me, and you start to fret again. Fret, 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 fret. And the Lord says, now ask for my power. Okay, Lord, I need your power. This morning before service, the Lord said, ask me for my wisdom. Yes, God, I need your wisdom. So why don't we talk to him more? What do you have going on tomorrow? I prayed for a kid this last week. This guy's at Mount SAC, freshman. Showed up and he was so excited to tell me because I've been saying this for years and it happened to him. He shows up in class, sits down, first day of school right here at Mount SAC. In fact, I'd like to get the teacher's name. I'd like to get the teacher's name. And if this is happening to you, I want to get your professor's name. Teacher said, I am a liberal, I'm a socialist, and I hate Christians. First day in class. Okay, number one, honestly, psychologically, what did that do? That silenced every conservative kid, it silenced every patriotic kid, and it silenced every Christian, unless they're possessed by the Holy Spirit. Right? Think about it. That's where, listen, if it happens in your class, that's where you stand up. Listen, let me give you a little tip. You don't need that class. That professor needs you in that room for the money to come in. They need you. So watch this. You stand up and say, excuse me, this is America. I appreciate your expression. It's a fantastic country we live in. I, on the other hand, am a conservative. I love America. And I happen to be a Christian. You know, our system throws it up to make you feel like, if you were to do that, that you just violated a law. That's exactly how they want you to feel. They have to do that because boogeymen have no power. They've got to do all of that boo. I'm the professor. You're the idiot. I know everything. They've got to do that. You want to know why? They're empty suits. They have to, I'm telling you inside secrets. They tell you, you've got to say that up front so that you don't have to contend with any outspoken, independent, critical thinking people the rest of the semester. Do you hear what I'm saying? Christian, I want you to go out into the world and shake it up. And if it's in your class or if it's in your job or if it's your home, here's the deal. Lord, I don't want to be a spectator. I want to live for you. And I believe that if I stand for you when I'm called upon to stand, you'll take care of the rest. And that same truth, Christian, you say, I'm a Christian and I love you, Jesus. But nobody in the church knows if I showed up or not, my ministry even matters. I want you to make my life change. Make me the best greeter, the best parking lot attendant, the best school or the children's ministry worker or the best, and pray big. Lord, if you want to make me a pastor, you make me a pastor. If you want to make me an evangelist, make me an evangelist. Pray and watch what he does.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, What Makes a Church Relevant, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
You know, keeping our eyes off of ourselves and on what would please the Lord and bring Him glory takes a special kind of determination and focus. That's why starting the day with devotions is a great way towards a meaningful and lasting relationship with Christ. But with tight schedules and hectic lifestyles, we don't always want to waste precious time searching for inspiring devotional material.
So Pastor Jack has written and provided them for us. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one every week, along with quick and easy access to previous devotions, with titles such as The Eternal Love of the Lord, Our Awesome God, and Blessings in Abundance. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you type in your email address. Again, it's available on our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You can also have access to Pastor Jack's devotions when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.